Hi, Hope Denver. I'm so excited to get to be with you here tonight at our Hope at Home service. We are continuing in our series on the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know me, my name is Pastor Kelsey Lasher. I'm one of the pastors, one of the other Kelseys here at Hope Denver. So I'm thrilled to just get to speak to you tonight about the Holy Spirit. So the idea of the Holy Spirit, I don't know if maybe you're familiar with the Holy Spirit, maybe you're not, but the Holy Spirit is God, part of the Trinity. And we've been talking all about the Holy Spirit throughout the last few weeks at Hope Denver. I would encourage you to catch up on the podcast if you haven't yet. But tonight we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit who lives within us, God living within us. In the Bible, this idea is referred to in terms of being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with God, and God dwelling within us. This might seem a little bit odd to you. Maybe you're familiar with this, maybe you're not. But the idea of being filled is not foreign to us. It's not something that is odd or should be foreign to us, because we're filled with things all the time, aren't we? We can be filled with emotions, sadness or joy or rage or confusion. We can be filled with all of those things. I think over the last few months, we've certainly been filled with many different emotions. We can all kind of relate to that. You can be filled with food, all kinds of different food that fills you up. I, for one, have also been filled with a lot of food over the last few months. I think a lot of people have been also. I wrote this week for the Hope Denver blog about being filled with a child during pregnancy. See, we're used to this concept of being filled with something and allowing that thing to change us and move us. But when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, this might take on a very foreign feeling for you. It might seem a little odd, a little weird. I mean, the idea of God dwelling within us, of God filling us up, not just dwelling, but filling every part of us, maybe is odd. Perhaps it seems too grand to you, too otherworldly. How does this happen? How does God dwell within us and fill us? Well, I think that how is perhaps the wrong question to ask. When we're talking about the Holy Spirit living within us, I think we shouldn't think of it in terms of how, but why? Why does the Holy Spirit fill us? Well, we're filled with the Holy Spirit because without him, we cannot even begin to accomplish what God has asked us to do. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't even begin to accomplish what God has asked us to do. Think of it this way. When I was in college, I took a class called Legislators and Legislation, and it was about the role of Congress, both historically and presently. And one day in particular, we got into a really big discussion in this class about unfunded mandates. Were they constitutional? Were they okay? If you don't know this term, if you haven't heard it before, an unfunded mandate just refers to legislation passed at the federal level that requires some kind of significant action from a person or a business or a state in order to comply with this legislation. However, the federal government does not provide any kind of funding or support in order to aid that entity in compliance. The classic example of this is the Americans with Disabilities Act, which required businesses to provide accessibility into their establishments for people who needed it, that maybe weren't able-bodied. Things like wheelchair ramps is a great example. I think this is great legislation. This is necessary and it's helpful for many, many people. However, the problem was that many businesses didn't have the funding to renovate their establishment to provide this. They wanted to do it, perhaps, but they just didn't have the resources and support to make it happen. This and other unfunded mandates in the 1990s stirred up a lot of controversy, so much so that Congress passed a law regulating themselves called the Unfunded Mandate Reform Act in 1995. So now, why would I go into all of this? Why would I start talking about some obscure legislation that maybe you haven't even heard of? I wanted to illustrate something for you as we're talking about the idea of why the Holy Spirit would dwell within us. And that is this: God is not in the business of giving us unfunded mandates. He hasn't told us to go and make disciples, to fear not, to take our thoughts captive, to live in unity with one another, to overcome temptation, to take heart. without giving us someone to help us do it. Think about how God operates in the Bible. Think about that story we just read for our kids. God is always coming to the aid of his people, parting the Red Sea for the Israelites, saving Daniel from the mouths of the lions, destroying the walls of Jericho, and perhaps in the most grand display of assistance and love, sending his son to deliver the world from sin and death. You see, it is in God's nature to provide us with everything we need to overcome, everything we need to obey, or as 1 Peter says, everything we need for life and godliness. So it only makes sense then that after Jesus left earth, after he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and he left God's people with the greatest mission that we perhaps have ever known, that God would send help. And that help would not only be present, but be within us as we move forward into this thing that God has asked us to do. Tonight, we're going to look in the book of Acts at the first time the Holy Spirit filled believers at Pentecost. This is a really powerful story, and it's one that we can apply to our lives today. So just to give you a little bit of context for the book of Acts, the book of Acts is basically a sequel to the Gospels. The Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they chronicle the birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. And then Acts kind of overlaps just a little bit with the Gospels and then picks up and chronicles the church's establishment and rise afterwards. So the book of Acts is picking up just after Jesus has risen from the dead and right before he ascends into heaven. And there's some overlap here with the book of Matthew. We see at the end of Matthew, Matthew 28, right after Jesus rose from the dead and before he ascends into heaven, that Jesus gives his disciples, and in turn, the whole church, us, our mandate, our assignment. He says this, and this is called the Great Commission, if you aren't familiar with it. It says, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So then we turn in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus is still on earth with his disciples. This is that little bit of overlap there between the books. And Jesus says this. He adds on to his instruction to go and make disciples. He says this to his disciples. Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus gives them this instruction, but he adds this little caveat. He adds this idea, don't leave, don't even start on your assignment until I send you help. So we're going to skip down just a few verses now to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And Jesus continues. He says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So that sounds a little bit familiar, doesn't it? That sounds like the commission, the mandate that Jesus gave, the go and tell everyone assignment. But here, Jesus says they can't do it until they receive power from the Holy Spirit, until they receive help from the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus gave them the mandate, and then he gave them the funding. This is the funding. This is the how. This is the means by which they were to go and do what Jesus asked them, the Holy Spirit. We cannot do what Jesus has asked us to do without the filling of the Holy Spirit. We cannot, and we should not. There's something to be seen here, that Jesus never, not at the very beginning, and not now, wanted us to try and fulfill the assignments he gave us in our own power. He never wanted us to run on empty. He never wanted us to do this without divine assistance and power, without his companionship. So this leads me to a question for you and a question I had to ask myself. Are we trying to complete the task that Jesus laid out for us on our own? Have we metaphorically left Jerusalem before we received the promised gift? Think of it this way. Because of all that's going on in our world, I have been homeschooling my kids like so many other parents right now. Their school shut down 10 weeks ago and we have been doing homeschooling ever since. We wrapped it up last Thursday, thankfully. And so we were doing this for a long chunk of time. Now, I am not trained to do this. I didn't receive a primary education teaching license. No one taught me how to teach. This is not something that I am equipped to do. However, it is something that I'm required to do. So, because of this gap between training and requirement, my kids' teachers have stepped in and they've been spectacular. Every Monday, they've set aside a plan day. And they spend that morning putting together a schedule of lessons for each day of the week and a wealth of resources for us to use. So, on Monday mornings, we wait. We don't do school. We simply wait for the teachers to equip us with what we need, and then we go forth and do it. Now, if I didn't wait for the teachers to send me what we needed, the things I would teach my kids, they might be wrong. They might not be impactful. They might even frustrate my children because it's not the method or resource they're used to. Do you see what I'm getting at here? I have to wait to be equipped, and then I can go and do it. It's the same with the disciples, and it's the same for us. We have to wait and be equipped, wait and be filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit. So have you been equipped? Have you waited to be filled before setting out with your task? If the answer is no, I have really good news for you. The solution is simple. Just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Simply ask for help. Just like a prayer you would pray to Jesus, pray that same prayer to the Holy Spirit. Take a moment each day, or a lot of moments some days, and acknowledge the fact that whatever your task is, it's too large for you to accomplish on your own. That encouraging those around you, that being a light and a source of joy in the job you hate, that having patience to intentionally raise your children in these crazy times, that acting with integrity so people around you see Christ in you, you can't do those things alone. And you never were designed to. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need God to intimately fill you with Himself, to live within you, so that you have power to do what He asked you to do. Just ask. The Bible says this in Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. The Holy Spirit is not stingy. He is abundant and desires to fill us with abundance. And we can actually see this in how and when He came. So going back to Acts, our story, we're going to move forward to the next chapter, Acts chapter 2. At this point, Jesus has ascended into heaven, and His disciples are doing precisely what He said. They are waiting in Jerusalem for the promised Holy Spirit, for the help, for the gift that God promised them. And by now, it's the festival of Pentecost. In Christian tradition, this festival has come to be associated with the filling of the Holy Spirit. If you have been in the church for a long time, if I said Pentecost, you would immediately think the Holy Spirit. And that's great because that's the story we're talking about. But the festival of Pentecost was actually its own holiday, its own tradition before all of this happened. You see, the Israelites celebrated various festivals or holidays throughout the year, and Pentecost was one of them. And in this particular holiday, they would gather together and they would celebrate an agricultural Thanksgiving holiday. It fell at the close of the period of grain harvests, and Israelites would gather together to thank God for the agricultural blessings of rain and a good harvest. It sounds a lot like our Thanksgiving holiday. So they would gather to thank God for the very thing that filled their bodies, that sustained their life, that was good and pleasing, the thing that empowered them to live. So it makes sense then that the Holy Spirit would come at Pentecost. While the disciples were thanking God for the abundance of the fields, God filled them with an abundance of himself. While they focused on the blessing of grain that energized them, that sustained them, God turned their focus to the Holy Spirit, who would empower and sustain their mission. See, there is a theme of being filled with abundance, filled to overflowing here, and we can't miss it. But even more so, there is a link between grain and the Holy Spirit. God doesn't do anything by accident. It wasn't an accident that he would give the Holy Spirit at this time. There's a picture being drawn here, a link being made. See, without grain, we cannot physically thrive. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot spiritually thrive. Grain fills us and empowers us. The Holy Spirit fills us and empowers us. We hunger for bread to fill us. We should hunger for the Holy Spirit to do the same. Here's something else to consider. A grain harvest was the most natural and vital thing in the world to this agrarian society. We're not necessarily an agrarian society, especially in Denver, but we still eat bread or something resembling it. Or let's take it away from bread for a moment and just look at harvesting food in general. We all understand that this is natural and necessary, don't we? We accept that it's a part of the rhythm of life. We depend on it. It's our food. No one would say food is extra to life. It's a bonus, an upgrade, a deluxe version of life, right? No one would say that a human being can and should try to exist and thrive without the fruits of the earth. No, we must be filled with them to survive. It is the same with the Holy Spirit and our spiritual life. A.W. Tozer says this in his book, How to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, "You must, I say, be satisfied that this is nothing added or extra. The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people." You see, just as being filled with food is vital to physical life, being filled with the Holy Spirit is vital to our spiritual life. Without him, we cannot thrive. So we've looked at the idea that we must acknowledge our need to be filled, that we should ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at what actually happens when the Holy Spirit does fill us, does live within us. We're going to read Acts 2, 1 through 13 here, and this is the actual meat of the story. It says this: "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. 'How can this be?' they exclaimed. 'These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done.' They stood there amazed and perplexed. 'What can this mean?' they asked each other." So here in this story, we see all the disciples gathered together, waiting on the Holy Spirit, and suddenly this crazy, miraculous thing happens where it says in the Bible that tongues of fire, just flames of fire, rested upon them. But of course, they weren't harmed. They weren't burned in this. And this is not the first time in Scripture we see God showing up in fire that simply rests but does not consume, and his voice is made evident through it. Back in the Old Testament, God spoke to Moses through a burning bush, and it was the catalyst that caused Moses to go and speak who God was and set the people of Israel free from bondage. This is a mirror image of that here at Pentecost, because at this point, the disciples have the fire from heaven resting upon them. They aren't burned up, and then they're given the ability from the Holy Spirit to go and speak and set people free from their spiritual bondage. It's this beautiful parallelism here. But finally, all of this is culminating. Their patience has paid off, and the disciples get to experience this miraculous event. It says there that as the fire rested on them, they began to speak in other languages. Now, sometimes this can be made into a very odd experience for people as they read this, but it's not odd. It's actually extremely practical and empowering. Why the other languages? Because they were surrounded by people from all over the world that didn't speak their language, but that needed to hear about Jesus anyway. You see, they were told to go and make disciples of all nations. But how could they do that if they didn't speak the languages of all nations? That's where the Holy Spirit came in. He filled them, equipped them miraculously, and then they did it. Acts 2 goes on to describe how Peter began to preach to crowd after crowd, and 3,000 people became Christians just that day. This is what happens when God fills us with himself, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and fills us and empowers us. Things we never thought were possible happen. We are empowered. We are equipped. We are sustained by the actual presence of God living within us. The limits are removed, and then we can go and do what God has asked us to do. I want you to think for a moment about what it is that God has asked you to do. Pastor Ike preached a number of weeks ago and had us consider this, what it is that Jesus has asked us to do. And that was a really great challenge for me. I hope you took that to heart as well. And if you didn't then search your heart now. What is it that God has asked you to do? We've all been called to go and make disciples in general, but how are you specifically supposed to do that? Is it within the context of your family? Is it within the context of your coworkers? Is it with your neighbors? Maybe that's getting ahead of yourself to even ask those questions. Maybe you feel like you need to allow God to do some work within you before you can even begin to think about helping someone else. Maybe you have fear as a constant companion. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's those things that you're allowing to fill you and live within you, and you don't want to. Maybe for you, the part of that command that Jesus gave in Matthew was that you're supposed to focus on is the go part before the make disciples part. Perhaps you feel like you're supposed to make a change, to go somewhere, to do something, but you feel like you can't. You don't have the strength or the power or the knowledge to do what you're supposed to do. Or maybe you're listening to this and you have no idea what God wants you to do with your life, because you simply don't know him well enough to recognize his voice. And maybe for you, where you need to start is just by encountering God tonight. That's great. That's okay. There's room for all levels here. The Holy Spirit can help with all of those things. You see, it was God's design from the very beginning that we never, ever walk this life alone, that we never try to do anything without his power, his companionship, his help. You see, the fact that God sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us and then to empower us to do things reveals so much about the heart of God, that he doesn't want us to walk alone, that he doesn't want us to try and strive to do good things or to try and make a difference in the world or try to control our circumstances without his help. He's here for us. He desires to be so close to us that he is literally within us, empowering us to do things. This is the heart of God for us, and it's so loving and so good and so generous. You see, the Holy Spirit is ready and waiting to fill us with himself each day so that we have the power to do whatever it is we need to do, so that we can have patience, so that we can have joy, so that we can have influence for him, whatever it is we need. His presence within us will remove fear. It will remove timidity. It will solidify purpose and power. Pastor Tyler preached last week about the Holy Spirit, and he talked about how the Spirit helps us recall the words of Jesus. So we're literally given wisdom and words to say from what the Bible tells us the Spirit reminds us. The Holy Spirit living within us changes us and molds us into the people that God desires us to be. He fine-tunes and sculpts us until our very desires mirror His. Look at what Romans 8, 5 through 6 says. It says, "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace." I think that we all could use some more life and peace in this season. We can find it in allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to lead us and guide us. So here are a few takeaways for us, a few things we can think about. If you feel like this idea of God dwelling within us, of the Holy Spirit filling us and living within us is odd, consider the link between being filled with food and filled with the Holy Spirit, this picture that God painted by sending the Holy Spirit at the festival of Pentecost. Consider the way that God did this. Remember that God wants His people to find strength and satisfaction by being filled with Him, just like we would find strength and satisfaction by being filled with good food. Another takeaway is this. Don't try to do things in your own strength. Simply ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up with Himself. The Bible says that we can be filled with the fullness of God. And as I was reading to prepare for this, I came across this really lovely illustration of this. And it talked about this picture of a cup, and we're like the cup. And the Holy Spirit doesn't just fill us with the fullness of God from like a pitcher poured into a cup that eventually runs out. No, it's like the Holy Spirit can take that cup and dip it into the ocean and fill it with the ocean. See, this picture is the fullness of God is so abundant. It will never run out. It's always available to us. It's so, so big and so wide and so large that we'll never use it up, and it's constantly available to us. So when we're at the end of our rope, when we feel like we have no more strength or patience or wisdom or whatever it is, the fullness of God, that abundance, is always available and it never runs out. So just ask for it. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you on a daily basis. Ask for that abundance. And the last thing is this. When we feel like we are at the end of our rope, remember what happened at Pentecost. Remember how the Holy Spirit came in such miraculous power that this gap between the disciples' ability and the task at hand was bridged by the Holy Spirit within them. Expect the same in your life. Expect that things will happen that are beyond the realm of possibility that you ever thought you would be capable of when you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. Expect change. Expect help. Expect that gap to be bridged by the Holy Spirit within you. And when you see this happen, tell somebody. We would love to hear about it. We would love to hear about what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, because we know that it's going to be good, good things. Have faith that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the last thing is this. If you've listened to this message tonight, and this all sounds good, but it sounds like it's completely beyond your grasp, because you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that's okay. You're at the right place, because you can have a relationship with Jesus. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And this power, this comfort, this equipping from the Holy Spirit is for all believers. It's for you. So I'm going to pray now. And if that's you, if you need the help from the Holy Spirit, ask. But if you want to have this relationship with Jesus, if you want to believe in your heart that he is God, that he died on the cross and rose again for your sin, then pray along with me. And if you'd like to reach out to a pastor to talk about this later, please do so. You can email us at info@hopedenver.com. Or if you're a part of our Zoom chat, simply stick around for the parlor chats and we'd love to talk to you some more. But let's pray. Lord, I thank you for all that you've given us. I thank you that you desire for us to lean on you, to be equipped and empowered by your presence within us. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would do that. We ask that you would fill us with yourself. You would fill us with the abundance of God each and every day. Equip us to do whatever it is that you have asked. We trust that you will do it and that you will be steady and constant in our life. We can depend on you. And Lord, if someone is here tonight listening to this and they desire to believe in you tonight, Jesus, they want to give their life to you, to follow you, to experience your love in a new way, then draw near to them tonight, Jesus. If that's you and you want to pray that prayer, then just simply say, Jesus, I believe in you. I want to follow you. Forgive me of my sins. I need you. I love you. Trust that the Holy Spirit is going to draw near and fill you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.